Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Logan, everyone, and welcome to MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands for this Week 12 encounter of the New England Patriots and the 3-7 New York Jets. Brady takes the snap, late pressure, a throw down the middle for Gronk, open, crunches, makes the catch, absorbs the contact, and falls in the end zone for a touchdown, Patriots!
That's the way he gets the big boy back!
Brady with two receivers to the right, three left, he takes the snap, a pump to the right, and a throw underneath for Edelman, 15-10, two into the five, Edelman dives to the goal line, touchdown!
21-yard touchdown to take the lead.
McDowell comes back from the 41, lobs a throw down left side, and it's intercepted by Gilmore. A long ball intended for Anderson, and Gilmore fronting him on an underthrown pass, able to leap and make the interception at the Patriots' 2-yard line. From the eye, Brady gives. Michelle runs, turning to the goal line. This time he penetrates for sure. Touchdown, Patriots! Shotgun snap to McCown. Moves up. He's pressured by Wise, and he goes down. Dietrich covering up on the sack. Back at the 46-yard line of New York. The Patriots take the win back home to Foxborough. The Patriots guarantee themselves a .500 finish for an 18th straight year, and as well for the 8th consecutive season. Come out of the blocks, 8 up and 3 down.
Oh, good. Be back out there with the guys, a solid team win together, and just help out and contribute. Felt good overall, and we got the win, so it's a good day.
Those are certain ones where, you know, Gronk's probably the only tight end in the league that can make that play. You know, he played a great game.
Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Touchdown!
Three-time Super Bowl champion.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we welcome to the desk.
Troy Brown.
You like it, right?
Mally. 985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Troy Brown is a Patriots Hall of Famer. He also does extensive work for NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by DN Van Lines, reliable professional, and can handle any size moving or storage need. DN Van Lines, that's 1-800-51-MOVER. Troy Brown, hello.
What's up, man?
They should have had
the moving company, the van line, move some nuts yesterday.
Yeah, we will get to that. First of all, you have a bedazzled sweatshirt on.
A lot of pecans out there on the field yesterday.
That's right.
Great, good for the plucking.
All right.
All right, so let's just start with that, Brent. We're already talking about it.
So Patterson grabs some guy from the Jets' balls, and it gets picked up on TV. In your experience when you played, first of all, no one wears pads anymore, nor cups, which I always think is ridiculous.
This is a good reason for football players to start wearing cups.
Now, did you wear a cup?
No, I didn't.
All right, what if you got a helmet to your balls?
That rarely happened, okay. A helmet. I mean, every once in a while you get like maybe an inadvertent fist or something, or maybe somebody meant to do it on purpose too sometimes. But for the most part, there was like really no helmets to the crotch area.
So right. What about knees? I mean, there's got to be, but it's.
Yeah, I mean, those down to my thigh pads and knee pads, and then at all the receivers, they had nothing on. It was basically like wearing like tights out there.
Right.
Yeah.
So, they were trying to make themselves as light as possible, and
because there's
so nothing. I started doing it too, and I was about, you know, a couple pounds lighter.
There's nothing heavier than a thigh pad.
Nothing heavier than a thigh pad, but you know, Parcells used to get pissed. Belichick used to get pissed about it. You know, guys getting a thigh contusion or something, you know, and that would happen. A knee or something to the thigh.
Yeah.
Going knee to knee with somebody. and you miss time, they would be pissed about that. So
how often does that happen where someone just gets a handful of crotch and just pulls? Because, I mean, we've heard of dirty stuff happening in, like, the pile, but that seems to be, no pun intended, below the belt.
I would say it happens probably more than you think it would, and it probably happened more back in my day than it does now, because I think guys back then just didn't give a damn.
Yeah.
They just were like, whatever they could do to hurt somebody or to get an advantage, or, you know, anything goes under a pile. If there's a fumble, and they're grabbing anything.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get you off the ball, so no pun intended, but, you know, but yeah, they would do anything.
Okay, so now, what was the one that was used the most? Like, what was the dirty trick that was used the most? As far as trying to inflict damage on someone when no one could see it in those files.
Let me take some notes. So
for me,
dominatrix.
Well, I didn't use any tricks, but I know I've had my fingers, like, stepped on many a times.
Yeah.
You know, fingers pulled back and stuff, you know, stuff like that. You know, you're getting tackled or something, and you'll get some big 300-pound guy that just gets everything he's got on your fingers. And it's not a good feeling,
yeah.
Especially if you're a wide receiver, you know. So, I mean, you get guys doing that. You get guys trying to do a little eye poke, you know, under the pile, pinching. Guys trying to pinch you, like not like pinch, but like pinching, like through the skin almost. So,
oh, geez.
So you get, I mean, you get guys doing some stuff.
Okay, I heard the one thing that is off limits. I mean, despite people grabbing nuts and pinching and tearing skin, I heard the one thing that's off limits is spitting on another guy. Is that true?
That's very off limits, because that happened to J.J. Stokes when he was out there when Romanowski.
Yeah, yeah.
Romanowski spit in his face on, like, Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And this is before high-def television. You could still see the spit just rolling down his face, man. And it was like, you know, me and that guy would be fighting to this day every time I saw him someplace.
Yeah.
You know, so it would be on. Well, I don't know if I would win or not, but we will be fighting to this day.
Why is that worse than, like, attempting to break someone's fingers
this
in a pile?
This guy just hawked up spit. and just right in your face. I mean, it's just like, it's like the most disrespectful thing.
Yeah.
I'd rather be, just slap me in my face. Pimp slap me in the face before you do that to me.
Yeah, hepatitis.
Whatever. Whatever it is.
Especially from Romanowski.
Sure.
Jeez, I mean, it's just like, I mean, how disrespectful can you be? I mean, okay, just step on my fingers, bend my fingers back, grab my balls, whatever you got to do, but don't spit in my face, man. That's that's way, way over the line.
Which, once again, another reason I would never be a professional football, because I would rather be spit in the face than any of those things. I'd rather walk away, wipe it off my face, than have bones broken and nuts grabbed, and I'd...
Nah, then everybody stop beating you up. Like, we can win that fight over there. So that's just disrespectful, man. Just the spit. I just hawk up some spit out of your mouth and spit in somebody's face.
I heard Matt Light was
J.J. Stokes didn't do anything.
Yeah.
He just walked back to the huddle.
He can't do that, man.
Just some Romo spit. You know, I go play the next play. You know, but if that was my teammate getting spit, I would have fought for my teammate.
I was about to say, is that bad enough to where if somebody spits in your friend's face, like, the team is going to
it takes a lot to get me ticked off. I would have got kicked out for my teammate if he got spit on in the face like that.
Okay. What about snatching a chain, like Aqib Talib style?
I'm like, man, you're not supposed to wear jewelry anyway on the field. So.
Yeah.
The best is that he called his shot. He goes, I would see that stupid chain out there, I'm going to tear it off your neck. And Aqib Talib does it, and sure enough,
like the Friday movie, my grandma gave me that chain.
right. So we've had people tell us that in the pile, Matt Light had a reputation of being like the dirtiest as far as getting away with the most. Is that true? From what you have heard,
Matt Light was probably more sneaky about doing stuff.
Dirty's not the right word.
Yeah,
yeah.
He didn't take no junk either, man. So he would have your back on the field or whatever, you know, and, you know, punch somebody upside the head if he had to, you know. I would probably say Logan Mankins, offensively, was probably the guy that you didn't want to mess with.
He wasn't sneaky though, Mankins.
He wasn't sneaky at all. He just do it
right
in
front of the ref. Just drop kick a guy,
punch him in the balls. I think he did it on national. Did he do it? He did it one night on television.
Who did he punch the balls?
Who do you guys remember who it was?
I seem to remember that.
Manny Patinkin. He was in the national.
But yeah, he would be the guy that would give you the business. Yeah, guys like, you know, Rodney, Vrabel. Vrabel was another one that would do that kind of stuff. Now he's coaching the team, teaching, you know, not to do that kind of stuff as a head coach. But Rodney was like, he was good for like just taking his to make a tackle and take his hand and put it on a guy's helmet and push himself up off, you know, get up off the ground. And,
yeah.
Well, he's an exceptionally dirty player.
And taking his knee and just, when he's getting up, rubber, hit it across the back of the head or something. When he's, you know,
yeah, that was
stepping over a guy.
Yeah, that's what he was.
They were good about that kind of stuff. Yeah, man, well, so,
yeah, Harrison was really under the radar. All right, Troy Brown is here. We will continue to talk to him. If you have any questions, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
Can you tell me what happened on that fight?
I got tackled. That man was all in my face trying to put his in my face, and I was trying to get his ass up off me. Simple as that.
You don't want that in your face.
Nah, I'm a grown man. I don't need nobody ass in your balls in my face, man. That's disrespectful.
I'm a grown man as opposed to my early days.
Yeah.
I loved ass in my face.
That's the sound clip of the year.
Thanks to the Boston Sports Journal, by the way.
Yeah, that is
the sound clip of the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
I loved that one. That was a great one. That's exactly what he was trying to do. You tackled the guy, and you got up, and you put your stuff right up in this guy's face, and he got what he deserved.
He sort of started. He was just standing there.
That's Cordarrelle Patterson, and as we said, it was the Boston Sports Journal who went, and they said we needed the truth behind this video. That, by the way, CBS. I mean, they got the entire thing, and it was fantastic.
I think that was incredibly unintentional.
I'm sure it was, but listen, one good turn deserves another.
You couldn't ask for a better angle than that.
No,
you could have.
You're watching at home, and you're saying, okay. And I like
tell me.
Go ahead.
I think it was one more time.
Can you tell me what happened on that fight?
I got tackled. That man was all in my face trying to put his in my face, and I was trying to get his ass up off me. Simple as that.
You don't want that in your face.
Nah, I'm a grown man. I don't need nobody ass in your balls in my face, man.
Yeah, once you turn 18,
that
all goes out.
Playtime's over.
Let's be honest. Troy Brown's in studio. He's brought to you by DN Van Lines, reliable professional. And can handle any size moving or storage need. DN Van Lines, 1-800-51-MOVER. All right, so Leonard Fournette got in a fight yesterday with some jabroni. And they fighting, and Leonard got... First of all, I'm fascinated, and this has been brought up a million times, by throwing a punch at someone with a helmet on in the face.
That was ignorant.
Yeah.
That was one of the first things that I saw. Like, he knuckled up, too. He was like...
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, you dumb... You just punched a guy in a hard-ass helmet.
Yeah.
You know?
Break your hand.
Come on, man. Just stupid.
Yeah, you think you're going to get through that, like, a little hole in the face mask? That seems like it's not going to happen. All right, so say if you're a Fournette's teammate, I don't even know the other guy, but if you're a Fournette's teammate, and, your season's over anyway, but he's that important a player, are you pissed, or do you respect that he stood up for his teammates? Or where are you at on that?
At that point, I think the rules now, because he came from across the field. I don't know if he was on the field. He may have come from across the field off the bench. I'm not sure. But I saw him running across the field.
Because that was a Miami touchdown that was taken back, right? That was Miami had just... Buffalo. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got to see right. Yeah, Buffalo. That was a Buffalo touchdown. It ended up not being a touchdown. They ended up saying that he wasn't in. Yeah. So he came in from across the field. You're right.
Yeah. So first of all, that's going to cost you a ton of money.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think that what was going on warranted him to come over and do all that he was doing. You know, so that particular, standing up for your teammates, that was way overboard. So, yeah, I would be mad at him for doing that because I don't think it warranted all that.
So. He probably just didn't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
Get me out of here.
He's having a hell of a game, so if I'm him, I want to play.
But you said something interesting. You said that, there was a second kind of fight. It wasn't as bad as the one that was on the field, but they got into it going down the tunnel together.
They went into the tunnel, which shouldn't have happened.
And why? Why is that?
Because another teammate of mine that got in the fight, I think, with the same Channing Crowder, I guess, that, Logan Mankins, all those guys have been into it with him, but they got in the fight and the game got kicked out, and then they sent them down the tunnel together, and they got in another fight in the tunnel. So after that, they were supposed to not do that anymore. You're supposed to take one guy another way, wait a minute or something, and take the other guy in or something. But
they didn't follow that protocol.
And I think they were like going through the tunnel alone. There wasn't even like security with them. I don't think. I think it was just them. So yeah.
That probably was not the wisest of moves. No. All right, so let's quickly just talk about the return of Rob Gronkowski. You know, the team is, it's the healthiest they've been in weeks. I mean, it seems all the major offensive parts were out there. Sony Michel back. Chris Hogan got involved. But let's first focus on Gronk. What did you think about his performance yesterday after a week of weekend at Gronkies and everyone saying that he was dead?
Well, that first pass they threw to him, you know, he should be mad at Tom about that one. You know, I was a little bit late and a little bit behind him and got him blasted.
Yep, yeah.
You know, he looked like he didn't like that one too much, but that looked like it hurt.
The only player on the Jets that's any good. Actually, small
actors. So, but yeah, and after that though, I thought he got back in, got that touchdown which was a great catch with in traffic,
yeah.
And getting contact, just still waiting to see him do some of the stuff he used to do, like if he could do some of the in cuts and out cuts and be effective at it. He doesn't look the same doing that stuff, But down the field stuff, which is kind of what they're going to him now on, is just that stuff looks okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's not making all the plays he used to make in those situations, but he's making enough to make a difference in the game.
Would you still play?
There's a difference in what he was able to do in the past.
If you're him, and just you or him, it's not even controversial what you say, and you're that banged up and you've had that many back surgeries and surgeries overall, obviously it's painful for you. I mean, he's sucking oxygen. He looks like he's...
After three plays.
Yeah.
That was three plays into the game.
Yeah.
You're not in Denver either.
No.
So.
You're in crappy New Jersey.
So
if you're him, do you play next season?
I mean, that's a tough question to ask. I know sitting here and thinking about myself being Rob Gronkowski and other opportunities he may have coming towards him, I would just be like, man, I'm done. I just think about the quality of life. I'm done with it, but it's still it's a hard thing to walk away from, something you've been doing probably all your life and mm-hmm. you enjoy doing and you enjoy being around the fellas. It's hard to walk away from it. But at this point, the injuries he's had, I wouldn't have a problem if I was in his shoes walking away from the game and just like, I want to be able to enjoy this money I've made and the money I'm going to make off the field as well and be able to just – go enjoy a second career, basically. It's still a young man. Was he 30? Is he 30? Is he even 30?
I don't even think he's 30 yet. I think he's 20. I'll have to take a look. I don't think he's 30. Yeah.
So, very young man. A lot of money to spend in the future, and you want to be able to enjoy it. So you don't want to sit back and watch all your friends and family enjoy it while you got to sit there and watch them.
Does Tom ask too much of him as far as like the passes he throws his way? I mean, you talked about that first one where he just got crushed. But it's like on some of these, even the touchdown catch, I mean, a lot of these are 50-50 balls where you're asking him to really do
a lot and getting hit at the same time. You can't put yourself in a position to protect yourself after the catch.
Mm-hmm.
So, you want him to stick around the rest of the season and have him, when it really counts, well, it really counts now, but when it really, really counts, then you got to kind of manage him and not put him in those positions to take those kind of hits.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, it was good to see Chris Hogan back. I know that a lot of people were freaking out him not getting.
Where did he go?
He just went not in the circle of trust. We know that.
He went somewhere where the ball's not thrown to him.
That's right.
Real quick before Hogan, why is Gronkowski huffing oxygen on the sidelines?
Man, I don't know what that deal was. Maybe he just was completely shut down and wasn't doing any kind of running or anything. I don't know what those back injuries, they may just have just shut
down.
That's
the first thing I thought of. So, I mean, they say limited at practice. That could mean anything.
How does the oxygen help? This is so naive in me, but how does the oxygen help?
Well, I guess when you can't breathe, and you're having a hard time getting some oxygen to your lungs, you're just getting like pure oxygen right now.
Okay.
You're taking deep breaths in and, pulling the mask off and breathing out or whatever. So I'm assuming that's how it just helps you recover a little bit quicker.
Okay.
When he's, out there huffing and puffing after three plays.
Yeah.
So,
it did not seem in the best
condition.
I thought
that was pretty amazing. Yeah.
That was strange. So as far as the rest of the offense, we talked about Sony Michel this morning. I mean, Sony Michel, obviously, he had a great day yesterday. It's career day for his short career. And we've kind of been going back and forth all season long as to how valuable a player he is.
Yeah.
Obviously, yesterday you saw that. I mean, I think that we think that his value is there. He's a good starting running back in this league. However, Fred doesn't think that he is as dynamic as many people are giving credit.
It's been a dynamic sports debate since the season started.
Oh, yeah,
Troy.
Baby. Coming in.
But you agree he's necessary.
I agree he's necessary to have in the game. Cordell Patterson's, you know, he's been the power back for him, I guess. But, you know, he's not an every down. He's not a guy you want to have back there for every single running play. So,
yeah,
having Sonny Michel back there, I think, is a guy you need to have on the field. I mean, obviously, this is the way they want to play, they're going to need to play coming down the stretch, especially if you want to preserve Julian, you want to preserve Gronk. And, you know, Sonny said it himself, you know, especially after the comments that Deion Lewis made after the Tennessee game, basically calling his old teammates soft.
Yeah.
You know, you hit him in the face and they're shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
This is a statement you had to make. He said it himself, you know, if you want to be a tough team and you want to be the more physical team, you got to run the football. And that's what they did. And they tried to do it, and they did it very well. And after that, they were able to pass it, run it, do whatever they wanted to do. So he's a necessary piece of that offense. But I get what everybody else is saying about, you know, the running back position or whatever. I mean, you look at what they were giving up, what the Jets were giving up the last three out of the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And they gave up 200 and something yards rushing to Buffalo. Hmm. You know, they gave up 180. I think to Chicago a couple of weeks before that. So, I mean, they haven't been very good against the run. So, this was a game they did what they were supposed to do against a weak team against the run. So, yeah. And Sonny Michel was a big part of that.
There's some of those holes, and the credit to the Patriots that I could have run through.
Yeah.
I would have died at the end of it.
I still don't think he's completely 100% healthy.
Yeah.
You know, but he's good enough, which I thought he got killed on that one play.
I think
he was coming back. It was kind of funny, too, how the broadcast, every time somebody got hurt, they put some ointment on it, and he was able to come back. You know?
Right.
Tom had his face with gushing blood or whatever. They put some ointment on it, and he's looking better now, and then he gets bent halfway over, bent completely backwards. Oh, they put some ointment on his back, and he's back out there now.
They injected him with Percocet.
I need to get some of that ointment. Maybe I can play again, too.
Go to your doctor and find the nearest pharmacy. All right. We'll be back with Troy Brown. He's in for the hour. Here are the headlines.
You don't have to lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich.
Go ahead.
Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Super Bowl champion.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we welcome to the desk.
You
like it, right?
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Troy Brown in studio.
One of our listeners, kind of jumping on top of what Troy Brown said earlier, he said, since real Troy Brown brought it up, what would you rather have happen to you? A, nuts grabbed hard, or B, spit in your face? And right now, with 59% of the vote, spit in your face is up there.
No. Yeah, grab my nuts and squeeze the crap out of them.
That's what I say to everybody.
You're not spitting in my face.
Okay, all right.
I've paid more people to just grab my balls.
Matter of fact, I saw your personal ad that said that.
I mean,
grab my nuts and spit in my face.
A dog leash.
You should just
him.
Play football.
I couldn't. It was too arousing.
Against Cordell Patterson.
The whole thing was far too arousing. So, Troy, I'm watching the Steelers game there, and there's a tight end. And he makes a good play. He initiates contact. He gets into the end zone. He fumbles out of the end zone. And what is that? It's awarded a touchback because he fumbled out of the end zone.
Yeah.
Is that the worst rule in football?
No.
You like that rule?
He fumbled out of the end zone.
I understand that, but that's ludicrous. So I can fumble out of anywhere and it goes out of bounds.
He didn't carry it in there. He didn't carry it.
No, but
to the
why
end zone.
Should they get a touchback?
But shouldn't he get the ball right there? Like where it went, like
because
where he fumbled?
It went into the end zone, and then basically, like when you kick the football, if you kick it off into the end zone and you down it, it's a touchback.
So yeah, but
it's
that's
kind
such
of,
a,
it's kind of the same.
You don't think that's a dumb rule? Because I think that might be the dumbest rule in the NFL.
That might be one of the better ones. It's like, well, if I run into the end zone, you know I'm going to score. But if I like showboat and drop it on the 1 yard line and then a half a yard line, and the ball rolls into the end zone behind me, that doesn't count as a touchdown.
So you're saying it's like a dumbass tax. Like, if you can't get the ball over the...
No, if you can't carry the ball over the line, which is the rule says you have to carry the ball over the goal line. He didn't carry it over the goal line. He fumbled it into the end zone, which it went inside the pylon in the field of play, and out of the end zone.
So if I make contact and the ball jars loose, anywhere else on the field and goes out of bounds, that is a fumble.
Yeah. if it goes out of bounds, then the ball goes where it goes, where the, basically where you fumbled it from. If it's not, you know, within whatever 2 minutes of the last of the fourth quarter or something, whatever.
Did that happen to you ever?
No, I never fumbled out of the end zone where it was a touchback. I fumbled going into the end zone against the Jets. Many years ago, going into the end zone. I don't. I think it, Victor Green. Somebody. I don't know. Somebody like
who?
That. Victor Green. He used to play here.
I know who Victor Green is. Don't worry about that.
I was going to give you a whole rundown of his history. Yes.
So you were running into the end zone, and he punched out? Or?
He went. I just tried to run him over, and he went right down, put his helmet right on the ball, and it just came out and laid right on the ground, like on the half a yard line, just laid right there.
Oh,
they recovered in
powerless field.
We beat them. We beat the crap out of them that game anyway, though. So.
But still, I got to think walking the sideline.
The Patriots beat the Jets.
Was that a Belichick or a Parcells?
That was Belichick. Yeah,
that was a lot of fun walking back to the sideline. I'm imagining.
He didn't say much. He didn't say much.
He didn't need to, did he?
Yeah.
You made an impressive move. He can't be that pissed off.
No, he's pissed off. That's one of those why you take the long way around. You know, you just kind of
sure.
Yeah, don't make eye contact with him.
What's the angriest you've seen him, Bill Belichick? Like actually.
I would have to say that the angriest I've probably seen him would be, I want to say was it 2001? When we're trying to force a coup situation with him. And it was a Thursday or Friday before a preseason game. And we were like, he told us to come out in our helmets, bring our helmets and shoulder pads or something to practice. And so I think maybe Lawyer Malloy might have been the ringleader. And we came out there in baseball caps. Like this is BS, Bill. We get ready to go. After this, we're going to fly to a game after this walkthrough. And you got us coming out here in the helmets and shoulder pads. So, and he just kind of like, when we got out there, I don't know if he was thinking about what he was going to say to us. But we got there, and he just kind of looked at everybody, and he was, if you know what I know, you go put your stuff on. And he left it at that.
And everyone just turned around?
And everybody was like, they stood there for a second, looked at a couple of guys who were leading the coup, and like a couple of guys just started walking back to the
I can't even imagine the balls. Because we know Bill Belichick and the respect that he commands now, but this is 2001.
Was different. That was before Brady.
This is different.
So he said, if you know what I know,
yeah,
you would turn around right now and get your helmets on.
Yeah. So, and guys are just like looking at each other like, but I don't know what he knows, so I'm going to start walking back to the building and get my stuff.
Who was part of the coup?
The whole team participated in it. Because we all thought it was stupid that we had to wear our helmets and shoulder pads.
So everyone came out.
A day before the game. We were leaving that evening to fly down there. So it was a walkthrough we had. And it was like, what the hell is going on? You know, dude, we done beat ourselves up, you know, all camp long. And, you know, it's like we get ready to play a preseason game and we don't need helmets and shoulder pads. Yeah, you do. So, and he was not happy with it, so.
And you could just tell by his face. I mean, even at that point.
He didn't say very much, you know. And you could just look at him like he was, you know. At least we thought he was serious anyway. So, but, that was a tense moment. That's the maddest I've ever seen him. So.
Wow. So he was one of those guys that when he got, the angrier he was, the less he said.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
No doubt.
Have you ever heard him pop off at somebody?
Oh, all the time.
Okay. What's the worst you've heard him pop off?
And it was kind of indirectly because he was just talking about the guy's physical physique and everything and how much weights they can lift and how fast they can run. And, you know, he does it to everybody, but this was like pretty, you know, you know who he was talking about. So, and it was just like, you know, you can lift all the weights in the world and this and that. You can run a 4.5 40, but none of that makes you a good football player.
I'm trying to think of who that might be.
I'm like, holy smokes, man. And everybody was like looking at the dude like, you know who he's talking about, you know. But
what had he done to get that kind of scolding from Belichick?
Just to not block very well.
Okay.
You know, not blocking.
Just lack of effort.
Things.
I'm thinking
it wasn't even lack of effort, just not wanting to do it.
Oh, okay.
You know, just not wanting to do it and not doing it well at all. So. And he was just like, yeah, he would, That's one of the indirect ones, you know. But there was also Todd Sauerbrunn. We played Tennessee Titans 2006, I think. It was the same game that Rodney the guy hit Rodney in the knee.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, anyway, Todd Sauerbrunn was told to punt the ball out of bounds because they had Pac-Man Jones, who was a very good returner.
Yeah.
And I guess they were teammates too at West Virginia, maybe. Uh-huh. But anyway, Todd Sauerbrunn, if you ever even know anything about Todd Sauerbrunn, he was a butthole. we needed a punter.
Okay.
We needed a punter pretty bad. But he decided he gonna kick the ball down the middle of the field for his average. He was a pretty good punter. He had, you know, he could punt the ball a long way.
Sure.
I'm gonna punt it down the middle of the field. I'm not screwing up my average to, you know, to appease Bill and the rest of the team. Well, he kicks the ball down the middle of the field. Pac-Man lets it bounce on the ground and he picks it up and runs it back on us.
Oh,
wow. And he met him on the field.
Who the fuck do you think you are? Like, you know, you do what I tell you to do. You don't do yourself.
And he got him on the field, and we got back to the stadium that night because that was the last game of the season, so we had to get ready for the playoffs. Uh-huh. And so we had a little meeting or whatever. Like, he was ripping him in the hallway when guys were going, taking their stuff to the lockers or whatever. He was cussing him out still.
Yeah.
I mean, and he was in it, man.
Because that's the ultimate
disrespect.
He said
a lot of things that, like, we can't really say on the radio. We got a 5-second delay over there.
Well, Belichick, you know.
We already used it, I think, of it.
He loves some special teams.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick loves special
teams. That's one of the...
Punters are huge with him.
The rec times I've seen him angry at a player. Like,
oh, sure.
He dog-cussed him for, like, what, it must have been like 5 hours.
Because that's an FU move. That's not, I messed up my assignment.
Just kick out of bounds.
Yeah.
You know?
How easy is that?
He's worried about his average. I mean, Bill was dog cussing him all the way back to Massachusetts.
All right. We have Troy Brown in studio. We'll talk a little bit about the goings-on of yesterday and looking into the future with this team. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
Late pressure, a throw down the middle for Gronk. Open, lunges, leaping catch, absorbs the contact, and falls in the end zone for a touchdown, Patriots.
So why you get the big boy back? And Brady, in the teeth of a blitz, Gronkowski finally going vertical. Look at him. That's what he needs to get the confidence going, man.
Brady took a shot right in the teeth.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Troy Brown in studio, as he is for an hour after every Patriots game. Now, the Jets are miserable. If you were the Jets, would you fire Todd Bowles?
I would probably wait till next week, see what happens in Tennessee. And if that's another butt whipping, then I would probably do it then.
Oh, you would fire him in the season?
In the season, yeah. I wouldn't let him stick around for the rest of the season, and you know you're going to fire him at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to set your quarterback down here because he has, you know, I mean, hell, he's already hurt. Are you going to play him the last 4 weeks of the season and see what your team has? They don't have a whole lot, so you already know that.
Right.
So you're probably going to shut him down, and then just, I would just, like, you know, give Todd a chance to move on, whatever, start finding something else if he wants to coach, still coach or whatever, and call it the day, man. I wouldn't sit around and let him stick around for the last 4 weeks of the season, you know, and you know you're going to fire him.
Right. So that's, you think, the kindest thing to do. Like, if you fire him during the season, it's better for the coach than if you fire him after the season.
Yeah, it's better for the coach. It's better for the team because he's just basically lost the team anyway.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean, I think they love the guy. You know, I think he's a great players coach, and they, I guess they like his approach to the game or whatever. But you know, I heard you guys talking about they quit on him last week. They never even started last week.
Yeah.
I mean, they, out of the gate, they gave up a 47-yard pass to a rookie, and then a 28-yard run for a touchdown after that. Two plays, they were in the end zone. They were down 7-0.
Yeah.
Just that fact. They even got started. So, they just, I mean, I don't know if he can reach this football team or not. So, they just need to get started on their future, you know, after next week.
Well, the Steelers lose yesterday to a not very good Denver team. The rest of the AFC, now that we only have a few weeks left, I mean, it's starting to shake out. You're starting to see who, like, the true teams are and who the people who've been putting up a front most of the time.
Patriots in control of their destiny for a bye at this point.
They are at this point, right. If they win out, they are. And if the Chiefs lose one and the Patriots win them out, then they've got the one seed. So what are you thinking as far as the competition outside of the Chiefs? We know the Chiefs are for real, but everybody else, including the Chargers and... What are you seeing out of these
guys? Well, if Minnesota plays the way they did yesterday, then it'll be a much tougher game. They've had an up and down season, obviously, you know, and not a very consistent football team. But
they got talent, though.
They are good enough to beat the Patriots, you know, coming in here next week. So that could be a tough game for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Minnesota, I would worry about Pittsburgh a lot.
Sure,
I think Juju Smith-Schuster is a beast. They upgraded from Martavius Bryant. You know, they've kind of got that combination now, like when Emmanuel Sanders was there with Antonio Brown. So they got a lot of weapons that can hurt you. Jesse James, if he could catch the ball and hold on to it, you know, this year. And,
right.
And other tight end, don't fumble through the end zone. You know, for the,
it's a horrible rule.
If he can hold on to it. They got some weapons, man, that can hurt you. Pittsburgh had them beat last year.
Yeah.
And they let him off the hook.
Yes, they did.
You know, but that Jesse James catching and Ben doing the same, the stupid stuff he did yesterday.
Oh, well, the worst interceptions you'll see a guy throw.
Against the Patriots last year.
Yeah.
You know, that was just... Yeah, just you don't expect your quarterback that's been around that long to do make those kind of plays,
mm-hmm.
and you know it's cost them two games now, 2 years in a row. So, but that Pittsburgh's going to be tough.
Yeah,
and who else is on there?
Miami, Miami.
Very difficult.
It's going to be a difficult game
every year.
Every year. So regardless of you know what happens with everybody else, you know, however Miami is playing that at that particular point. You know, that they will give the Patriots a fit.
Yeah. So three tough ones in a row. So it's like, yeah. I mean that Steelers game, I don't understand how Denver won that game. All I know is that the spread was really low before. I lost money on that game, by the way. I shouldn't have gone against the bankroll boys. They were favored by
it's
three.
It's hard playing in Denver, man. It's hard. It's hard on everybody.
Yeah.
So.
Everyone's on the sidelines like Rob Gronkowski yesterday with trying to get oxygen in there, which still is weirding me out. Like, why did he need that?
Yeah, that's why I asked Troy. I'm like, you don't see in other professions, like, you know, you don't have a big court case and then grab an oxygen. you don't, like, go to the gym and there's people just inhaling oxygen. Like, so... Yeah, that was weird to see.
That was strange. Yeah. By the way, I want to ask you this. We had there was a kid who came by and visited the other day from the Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
And he had a good question to you out in the hall. And I was like, wow, he came in here and did like a ton of his research. His name was Jet. And he said that you played corner and you used to guard Randy Moss when he was on the team.
Yeah, I would cover him sometimes on the team. And then I know a lot when we were getting in the playoffs, he would like working on some of his jump ball stuff and his one-on-one fade stuff.
Yeah.
He would ask me to come over and guard him a little bit.
How tough was it to guard Randy Moss?
It was just a big body, man. And you realize how difficult it was for, you know, other corners out there to do that on a almost every play, you know, and just doing it, trying to get around him and knock the ball down or something to get your hands on him. He's so big. He's bigger than what you think he is because he's so long and lean that, you know, he was solid. So it was more difficult to do than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
You know, so he's got a big radius too. He's got long arms, sticky fingers, long hands. And it's just hard to deal with that man. and you know, he's got good hand eye coordination. So
who else did you cover when you were in the team, like when you guys would practice against each other?
Did you ever cover
Welker?
I covered Welker a few times.
Yeah. So, did you embarrass him?
No, I didn't do that. I was trying to make him better. You know, I was trying to make my teammates better. So, yeah. Covered Dion and covered all those guys, man. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Didn't work out so good in some situations.
Who'd you win against the most?
I don't know. I had my share of wins. I don't know exactly who I won against the most, but I had my share of wins, though.
Brady gets pissed when you pick him off in practice, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever picked him off in practice, but I knocked quite a few down.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You had a couple words?
Nah, I didn't talk junk like that, man. It was like, if anybody would say it would be Rabel or Rodney or somebody, you know, those guys, you know.
Yeah, Rabel never held back.
Making fun of him or something, you know, but, you know, other than that, yeah, I wouldn't say anything. They took care of all of that for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, Troy, finishing up here, who do you think is the best team in the AFC?
Man. I'm still saying Pittsburgh right now.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I'm still saying Pittsburgh.
Better than the Chiefs?
Even though they...
More complete team.
I think they got a more complete team. I love Kansas City, man, and their ability to score points.
Oh, it's
but they give it they give them right back to you. You know, yeah. You know, it's hard to say they're going to be dependable deep into the playoffs, giving up points like that. So
yeah, and yeah. Pittsburgh struggled against the run yesterday, but they've got a great run defense and they're very deep.
They couldn't breathe out there in Denver, man. They should put like one of those oxygen things on their like, in their back or something. They can
Gronkowski would just wear a look up. Yeah, he'd just wear a backpack with like the nasal stuff. All right, Troy Brown, yes, NBC sir. Sports Boston. He joins us every week after the Patriots games for an hour. We appreciate your presence as always, sir. Yep. And this weekend, apparently over Thanksgiving, it was a very busy weekend for Sarge calls. And Sarge
followed me on Twitter.
Oh, there you go. Really?
Yeah.
All
right.
Sarge so, salute online. Nice.
So Sarge.
It was a blitzkrieg of Sarge calls.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.